heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, first off, I see, you know, a lot of these headlines are kind of funny to me when they say, you know, like the shooting at Pensacola, we're speaking about at the Naval Air Station. And they say, oh, it appears to be a terrorist attack, or it might be terrorism. And, you know, this is the usual media stuff, trying to think that maybe there is no really maybe here, people. It is definitely a terrorist attack here on American soil. And, you know, my heart goes out to these families. I've seen some of the interviews and talks with the families in the last many days. And to say the least, people, the families are distraught. I mean, it's bad enough you lose a son, or could be a daughter. In this case, it's a son. But then to know that it was all avoidable, it could have been totally avoided. I mean, think of it in those terms. So I guess the question you want to begin to ask yourself, or I'm going to ask you anyways, are you willing to sacrifice your son or daughter or sister or brother or mother or father for that matter for the case of, you know, bad policy, you know, just because somebody didn't do what they should have done, or they have laxed policies, or they, and sometimes these cats are not keeping up with the times either. Let's call that what it is. These, and I'm speaking about these training programs. You know, you'd think we learned the lesson from 9/11, huh? I mean, if there was a lesson to learn, was that like the mother of lessons? 9/11, the mother of lessons. And I've always wondered since then. I've scratched my head and wondered, what? Like, we're still dealing and working with Saudi Arabia like they're our best friends. And I wonder that a lot. And then the word comes to my mind, frenemy. You know, you get your friends and enemies. And of course, the Middle East is center for this conversation, people. I mean, come on. You know, your friends are your enemies are your friends, or what do they say? Keep your enemies close by so you know how to deal with them, right? And that probably is part of the problem, people, because part of the problem here we've got here, and we're going to talk about that today, about President Trump and the administration and what they're doing about this. And remember, this was central to his administration when he took office. He was stopped by the courts. He was stopped by the radical left, by the far left socialist. He was stopped at every turn to try to secure the borders and to try to stop a lot of these cats from flying in here as well in these programs. And this conversation today is central to that. And so here we are again. Fatally shot and lost, murdered three sailors at this U.S. naval base in Florida, Pensacola, Florida. It's a historic base there, what I'm speaking about in Pensacola. I mean, it's very, very unique. It's a military training they use for a lot of foreigners they bring in, and they train them here. And we've always had a very robust, I'll call it, training program. And we've had it for the Saudis. We have it for a lot of different countries, actually. And what it is we provide the assistance to them. And let me tell you some numbers. Right now, at this moment, there are more than 850 Saudis in the United States for these training programs we're talking about right now. That's the same training program where this murderer, this killer, and I don't need to use their names. We don't need to glorify these people. But decides to kill. And let me tell you, if it wasn't for a few heroes here that lost their lives, and that's been documented now, those numbers would be, wow. I mean, and that's always a problem I'm always thinking about, too, is like things could always be worse. Yeah, they could be worse. A lot of these kinds of situations and these terrorist things could be massive in size. You know, with arms like that, how do you stop them? And that's the real question. How do you stop them quickly? And there's some heroes here. We're going to talk about that today as well. But you're talking 850 Saudis in these training programs in the United States. And that's among more than, and that's just Saudi. Now, Saudi, they're heavy into this. I mean, we do a lot for the Saudis in these training programs. Again, these are the same people. That's correct. who were doing the training programs at 9/11. And here's the catch. They were only learning how to take off. They were never interested in learning how to land a plane. I wonder why. You remember that? That became a really interesting point of reference. And nobody picked up on all the signals back there prior to 9/11. But they were only ever concerned with taking off and how to fly the plane exactly so they could fly it and kill people, right? And so did we learn any lessons from that? I guess the question I ask. And now overall, there's probably about 5,000 plus students, foreign students I'm speaking about now here, from 153 countries that are going through military training in the good old U.S. of A. That's what we got going here. And this has been going on for decades now. But again, Saudi Arabia, they're at the top of that helm. I mean, we're talking, that's a pretty large number of people of that 5,850. Do the math real quick. That's a big chunk of that group there. So that means we're doing a lot with Saudi Arabia. What's really strange to me, now I'm just a common sense guy here, but what's really odd to me, doesn't make a lot of sense, is with those kinds of numbers, like these are the same people who took down those buildings, the tallest buildings in New York, and they were certainly the casualties of that episode were massive. It was on the scale of a Pearl Harbor and completely tainted this country forever. I mean, we'll always think back to 9/11. It'll always be a day that we memorialize. And that's what they wanted. That's what the terrorists wanted. They wanted us to memorialize that. They wanted us to think and remember that every year. And they do. And they go through this ritual of calling out all their names. They say, we will never forget. I don't know. There's something. I can't even watch that anymore. It's all kind of sick to me. Because to me, the terrorists won when we continue to honor them like that. And I know we're honoring the people who died and all of that. But I don't know. There's still something that rubs me about the whole thing. I think there have got to be other ways we can honor these people, because I think in a lot of ways we play right into these jihadists, what they're looking for. And it's to put fear, terror into the minds of people. And that's the whole goal. That's the whole goal of terror. That defines terrorism. That's what it means, people. So this is unbelievable here, what happens again. The shooter opened fire in the classroom at the naval base, killing three people before one of the deputies killed him, by the way. You know, now, at the same time, 10 Saudi students are being held on the base just over the weekend there, you know, because they want to look at their background. And the worst part about it is that you hear some of the signs you've seen where there were people filming this, putting on video, which is what these people do. They create all these videos and all these other things so they can use in propaganda tools and throw out there for mass consumption on social media. And they do it. They get away with it. They're always throwing that stuff out there. And that's how they radicalize all these people all over the world. A lot of people are being radicalized from this nonsense. So then people are actually filming, and the people are saying, well, was he a lone shooter here, or was he involved in a group? And people are saying he was lone, but how could he be alone when people were actually filming the event? And worst off, or even crazier than that, is I understand he had some sort of a party or some sort of a thing the week before and was looking at videos of slaughtering people. I understand that was the case as well. So, and this is a crazy story, but the ramifications are massive. I want to bring on now somebody who follows this stuff. IQ Al-Razouli is here. And IQ, as you know, on the platform, he's a weekly columnist at America Out Loud, but he's Iraqi-born Arabic speaker. And, you know, I know, IQ, you talked about this. We see your write-ins. We understand the passion behind this. You have, in fact, an article up about this, and you don't pull any punches, which you normally don't. But I want to dive right into the message the guy left there, the terrorist left, and it reads this way here, and have you tell me what you think about this, because this was immediately being downplayed by Secretary of Defense Mark Esper and others. And the note he left was this: oh, American people, I'm not against you for being American. I don't hate you because your freedoms. I hate you because every day you support, fund, and commit crimes, not only against Muslims, but against humanity. This was a post that was read here after the fact here. What I see from America is the supporting of Israel, always comes up, doesn't it now, you know, which is invasion of Muslim countries, I see invasion of many countries by its troops. I see Guantanamo Bay. I see cruise missiles, cluster bombs, and UAV. IQ, what do you think of that statement here and this act here that he, you know, statement he left behind?
First of all, with all due respect, those who commit these acts are not crazy people. These are believing people. They believe totally in Muhammad's Quran and Muhammad's Sunnah, the basis of Sharia. They're not crazy. I know it sounds outrageous, but I've said it before, I'm going to repeat it again. No matter what. Every Sharia compliant Muslim on earth is a member of ISIS. ISIS is not an aberration of Islam. ISIS is the most perfect Islamic entity. The reason why Americans in the Defense Department, in Homeland Security, and in the CIA and FBI are not intelligent enough to understand this is because under Obama for 8 years, CARE, Council of American Islamic Relations, convinced him, or he supported them anyway, not to ever associate Islam with terror. Every manual in the Defense Department was completely eradicated, completely taken out, any association between Islam and terror. And yet, when you read all the hadiths, which are the traditions about Muhammad, repeatedly he said, I have been made victorious with terror. Terror is the basis of Islam. And when this piece of garbage telling you that he is doing it in defense of Islam, against imperialism, against Israel, is bullcrap, simply for one simple reason. 1400 years ago, Muhammad declared total war against every human being on the planet who's not a Muslim. That means who's not a follower of Muhammad. 1400 years ago. And the Arabs came out through the Jazeera al-Arabiya, from the peninsula of the Arabs, in about 635 AD, conquered three continents, destroyed five civilizations, and they speak about imperialism. Do you know that Arab imperialism has lasted 1,400 years and continues to do so, even today? It is the longest lasting imperialist power on earth and the most destructive, the most parasitic. What have the Arabs contributed to humanity besides death, destruction, plunder, rape? They tell you, we gave you algebra. Really? They gave us the zero concept. Believe it or not, algebra and the zero concept and all the other items that they talked about came either from the Hindus or from the Greeks or from the other people of the earth that they plagiarized, plundered, pirated, and or perverted. Am I exaggerating?
Well, the thing about it, IQ, is it's a warped view that a lot of people are not understanding. And I actually like the way you keep it simple and you bring it back 1,400 years. And what you're talking about is the ideology behind all of this. And see, that's what a lot of people can't get through their thick heads, is that the ideology. And then you hear all these talks out there in the media puppet heads and political crackpots saying, oh, is it a good Muslim? Is it a bad Muslim? Is it a radical Muslim? Sort of like that nursery rhyme about the good mama bear, papa bear, and baby bear, I guess, you know. I mean, and they're all really the same is what you continue to say. There is no difference. Sharia compliant is the key to this thing, right? That's the deal, isn't it? Right?
Absolutely. There is no chance on earth you can split Islam into moderate Muslim and radical Muslim.
And they do that all the time. They try that all the time, buddy. And the denominator is, I like the way you simply point that. I need everybody to understand what IQ is talking about. But here's something I want to ask you. You just brought up a moment ago, and I remember reading this when you said a bit ago here about the Obama administration. I don't want to lose sight of that because I want listeners to really get this point, IQ. The fact that they removed all references, let's explain that again, what they did, because you never, ever hear anything about this. They removed all references to what and from what?
Very important. Who is they? CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, the most subversive organization on the face of the United States of America. They literally forced all the departments of intelligence and security in America to remove every kind of association between Islam and terrorism completely. That's why you do not understand Islam, even if you wanted to. Most people, in fact, every single member of Congress, every single member in the military should read the Quran. Mm-hmm. And all they have to read, not 114 chapters. All they have to read are 8 chapters, chapter 2 to chapter 9 inclusive. After that, they don't need to know anything else.
Well, let me do this. In that article, again, I've had many people now reference this recent article that IQ has got on America Out Loud, friends. It's entitled, straightforward here, American Leadership is Negligent for the Pensacola Saudi Muslim Trainee Slaughter. Now, that may sound like a pretty big statement to make, but when you see the case that IQ lays out in here, which is what we're talking about now, you'll get it and you understand. You list two in here right now, IQ, in this article. You list, you've got here, the first one is in Al-Baqarah 216, is that correct?
Yep.
You say here, jihad, holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for you, Muslims, though you dislike it. And it may be that you dislike a thing which is good for you and that you like a thing which is bad for you. Allah knows, but you do not know. And so this reference, jihad, holy fighting in Allah's cause, is ordained for you, meaning you have to fight whether you like it or not. That's what this says. And this next one is in your face. And do you remember those images a few years back, people, that were so gross that everybody was saying, like, come on, you got to be kidding me. And, like, this is where, like, ISIS broke out. And we had never seen anything like this before. This is, like, hit, like, regular people at home. It was on the news. It was all over the front page as they were taking all of these various people out, and in some cases soldiers and just all kinds of people. And they put them on the water side on their knees in orange suits, and they would chop their necks off. Do you remember their heads? They would chop them all off at once. And this is what he says here in this article. Here is Muhammad 47:4 verse. It says here, listen to this. This is in the Quran now. And I quote here, therefore, when ye meet the unbelievers, infidels, kufar, chop off their necks. So then you want to say to me, well, where do they get this from? Well, that's the Quran. And then when you see IQ comes out and says, well, any Sharia compliant and all these versions of Muslim, and then you begin to start to rationalize the irrational people and you understand more of what we're talking about. So then here's what I want to pose as we pause here and come back with IQ here a moment is this. So why are we inviting all of these people over here in these training programs? And the numbers I shared with you and the Saudi students specifically over here is a massive amount of that training program. Out of all the 153 countries, by far, we got more Saudis than anybody. So what's behind all that? And what's behind the tweets that President Trump put out on this story as well, which some people would argue about? And typically, there's something more here. Things get very political and murky here because IQ, he normally doesn't, but he called President Trump out as well. He's a pretty big supporter of Trump. But in this particular story, in this particular case, he called him out as well as the entire establishment.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
So these training programs we're talking about here, we're talking again with IQ Al Razzouli here. And let me get to the tweet first, and then we'll talk about the training programs, IQ. So the tweet that President Trump put out said, "The king said that the Saudi people are greatly angered by the barbaric actions of the shooter, and that this person in no way, shape, or form represents the feelings of the Saudi people who love the American people." This is what the president tweeted out. Now, I want you to dissect that tweet for me a moment, please. First of all, I want straightforward here. The king and the Saudi people, are they angered by these barbaric actions of the shooter? Yes or no, IQ?
You want reality? The answer is no.
Let me ask you this, please, and then I'll let you opine further here. And then when it says here in this tweet, and that this person in no way, shape, or form represents the feelings of the Saudi people who love the American people. So my next question to you, sir, is this. In your opinion, do the Saudi people love the American people?
It's an exaggeration, to put it mildly. But please, very important, I've got to explain something to you. We have a dichotomy here. The reason you have such a proportion of Saudis is because America supplies 98% of their armaments. That means hundreds of billions of dollars of armaments supplied by America. So from the economic point of view, you have no choice but to train these people to use these weapons. Whether these weapons will be used against you or not is another story. Item number two, the new prince, the crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, is trying to literally change the character of the people of Saudi Arabia. In 2018, when he allowed women to drive the car without the permission of the men, I thought he has signed his own death warrant, okay, because it's against Sharia to do that. He is now trying to do many things against Sharia.
Why is he going against Sharia?
Because liberating women is against Sharia.
But why is he going against Sharia then? Why is
because
the king doing
he knows,
that?
Because he knows within 20 years or 30 years in the future, which is 20 years more than 30 years, Saudi Arabia will run out of oil. And if it doesn't run out of oil, there will be alternative supplies of energy. America is supplying a huge amount of oil. And by 2030, they have nothing to sell but sand. Nobody is going to buy any sand. He knows he has to renovate the system. He has to create industries. He has to teach his people how to use computers. All these he knows. He's not a stupid man. He's a very intelligent young man. By the way, many of the Saudis in the hierarchy, in the military, in the social structure, were educated in the West, mostly in America. The dichotomy he is facing is, you have the Muslim, you call them extremists, they're not extremists. The true Sharia compliant Muslims want him dead, by the way. They want him dead and they will kill him.
So let's talk about that a moment here. We're speaking about the prince here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the prince is not popular back home, is he not? No?
Well, he's not popular among the ulama. Ulama means the clerical groups, the religious, so-called the religious, the priests of Islam.
Right.
The mullahs, the imams. You've got to understand, Americans don't understand anything, zero, outside what the United States is, believe me. Even they don't understand their own constitution. Look what it is in America today. Most of the Americans don't understand the constitution. Otherwise, if they had understood the question.
Well, they stopped teaching it in school, so obviously they don't even know the Pledge of Allegiance.
The fault of but that's again the fault of the parents.
Absolutely.
It's the fault of the system not 100%. To allow this. We're digressing. All I'm saying is the knowledge of by Americans of Islam is zero, literally zero. So we are starting from scratch. Yeah. He knows he has no choice for the future of the kingdom He has to renovate. He has
right.
to Christianize.
Right. It's interesting, IQ, because, you know, back in the 70s and the 80s, when they were on the top of the mountain and really had America in a vice with energy, it was all about energy, long lines at the gas pump, people ripped up, ticked off, going to fight in the Middle East for energy. And because of our stupid politicians and bureaucracy here back home, you know, we were hostages to a lot of the Middle East for this problem here. And now when you say, well, they're going to run out of this now, you mean in, what you're saying there is that they have, by you're saying 20 years from now, 30 years max, you, I think you're saying they would have pumped it dry by then. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, even if they don't pump it dry, there are alternative sources of energy now. Yes, our technology in the West, you've got to understand something. The Western technology is immense, and it is what you call astronomical now in explorations and innovation. Every day, every week, every single year, thousands of items are innovated to reduce energy waste, to reduce fuel wastage. So all these things will impact them. They have no choice. Not only Arabia, by the way. The whole of the Muslim world is backward. Am I exaggerating? The answer is no. I always give a simple example because of the dimensions between the two groups. Israel is very small, very tiny. If you're on a map, if you write Jerusalem, you can't write Israel. You can't. You can't put them together. And yet, Israel outproduces the whole of the Muslim world of 57 Muslim majority states 1,000 times. Why? Because they are educated people. Their structure is to do with education, to do with freedom of speech, to do with freedom of religion. In the whole of the Muslim world, they have no freedoms whatsoever. No freedom of religion to other people. In fact, no freedom of religion between the sects. The Shi'ites are massacring the Sunnis, and the Sunnis are massacring the Shia, and both Sunnis and Shia are massacring all other subsections of Islam. They have no freedom of religion. They have no freedom of speech. They do know what democracy is. The word democracy is from the Greek. In the Arabic language, there is no equivalent. Why? Because the concept doesn't exist in the Arabic language, in the Arabic mind or the Islamic mind.
Right.
These things are minimal, and what I'm telling you are simple things, but they escape the attention of all your leaders.
Yeah, sure.
All of them.
Well, there's a lot of reasons, too. With the prince modernizing, again, the kingdom and the enemies that are lining up there and all that we're speaking about here, with the prince being the new generation, he gave a lot of hope and promise. President Trump met them out there early on in the administration. How does the king see this? I mean, he gave the reins to the prince because he knew they had to modernize the kingdom, I guess, and get ready for this big change ahead over the next 20, 30 years, I guess, huh?
Yes, he had, as I said, they have no choice, honestly.
No choice. Yeah.
There is no choice. Either you renovate, either you progress, or you are completely dead. Right. The whole of the Islamic world will be completely dead. I'm talking about technology, I'm talking about science.
Right.
And by the way, sooner or later, enough Europeans and Americans would wake up to the fact you have to quarantine Islam. What do I mean? You must not allow any Muslim to be on your country. Why? Because if the, since he is Sharia, he or she is Sharia compliant, how can they ever be loyal to you? Ilhan Omar wears the hijab. Why does she wear the hijab? Because Sharia compliant. Ask her. Nobody ever asked her. If you are Sharia compliant and you're wearing the hijab, Sharia compels you to be disloyal to the American Constitution. But nobody is asking the question. Ilhan Omar is the same. Any Muslim, you see, people cannot understand that in Islam, different from the Judeo-Christian tradition. In Judeo-Christian traditions, they were able to separate church and synagogue from politics. You cannot ever split Islam or divide Islam between Sharia and secularity. It's impossible. It cannot be done. It's prohibited. So how can you split it? How can you split it? You can't split it. You show me a single scholar of Islam. Bring him to your show and let him tell me how you can do it. It can't be done. You have a lot of Muslims in America, dedicated, yeah, nice people. Some of them are in the military.
Right.
And they speak about moderate Islam. You cannot ever have moderate Islam.
So the people who are doing that, who are talking about this, as you say, in the programs, moderate, this and that, are they, when these people do this, and what they're doing is they're trying to convince the masses, convince others that it's okay. And I hear this a lot here in the news, I hear it with everybody, the moderate form of Muslim, and they're not all bad and everybody's good. And what I'm wondering is, are they attempting to buffalo the masses? Do they know? Or are these people just not convinced? Or what is behind their motive? Or are they waiting for the day that they, again, get more aggressive? How do we decipher through that, IQ?
You are not supposed to decipher anything, because the Quran tells you how to do it. Mm-hmm. It's called taqiyya. Taqiyya. You can Google it. How you spell it, Google will give it to you. Taqiyya means, from the Arabic language, in the Quran, by the way, that you are, as a Muslim, by the way, is the Quran is addressing Muslim. Mm-hmm. Every Muslim can use taqiyya. That means to deceive the infidel, the kuffar, the non-Muslims, to deceive them into believing that you are part and parcel of the system, part parcel of the dream of America or the dream of Europe. When in reality, what you are trying to do as a Muslim is to bring Sharia to Europe, to America, and to every other country on earth. Are you with me?
So are those people, that is their goal, even though they come out and say they're moderates and they're this and that, their goal is still the same, you're saying?
Yes, but it's because it's impossible for any intelligent...
Right, well, I know that, you know that, I know that, but I'm saying, what is their mindset, the mindset of those people? They know it as well, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking about the Muslims. It is impossible to make moderate Islam. Doesn't exist. It cannot be done.
Yeah. And that really is still, though, the political talking point they use consistently. That's what I hear back all the time, that it's just a radical form. Every politician will say that to you. It's only an isolated few, IQ. It's those radical few that we need to deal with, not the vast majority. That's what I keep hearing from every politician. I don't care what it is, liberal politicians, conservative politicians, they're all the same, IQ. What do you say to that?
I'll tell you what. I'm offering on your show right here, right now, a sum of $200,000 for the first human being who can find a single operative verse in the Quran that shows any compassion and mercy towards kuffar infidels. $200,000. Find them. I'll pay it.
Yeah. You know, when you first started talking about that, as I got to know you some years back, I wasn't really sure what you were saying back then, but you said it enough. And eventually I figured out what you really meant. And I did that basically through your write-ins. So I guess my message to folks is, if they really want an education on this, if they want to understand. See, IQ has made it his life mission. It really is his passion. It's his life mission to warn the world of these dangers. And that's why you feel the passion always with him when he talks, but also his write-ins. I encourage all of you on the platform to go under bloggers to IQ Al-Razouli, and you get a education like you cannot imagine. If you want to be educated in this topic, go to bloggers on the platform, AmericaOutLoud.com. And just go click on IQ and just read week to week all of these write-ins that he has in there. And I promise you this, you'll know more about this topic than all of those political talking heads who know nothing about nothing because they read nothing and they know nothing because they are nothing. And that's my advice to all of you. Now, next, what I'd like to do as we get through that is talk about these training programs specifically. And it gets interesting because the Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, comes out and says some interesting things. And the president follows that back up. So now the question becomes, so what do we do now? Because here's the big question you want to ask yourself, people. All of these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and 850 Saudi trainees and students that are in our training facilities and military facilities, the question is, are these walking, ticking time bombs? And do they have the case to go off? And then you say, well, what? Why? And are they putting our military at risk? You know, I seen just this morning and yesterday morning, the families in total breakdown tears from burying their sons from the Pensacola incident. And I had a tear in my eye as I could see the families burying their young sons who were now being called heroes. So now they'll get a plaque from the military, a hero they can stick up on the wall somewhere and feel like what? Okay, their son was a hero, lost his life, and it's all gone and said because some jackass up in a training program and an international student that decided to take out our military. And then you say, well, but he's a hero. That's BS. That's not the answer, people. And then you got to look to our leadership, which is what IQ puts out there in that latest column here. American leadership is negligent for the Pensacola Saudi Muslim trainee slaughter. Well, they're negligent all the way through, people. I mean, part and parcel, they were negligent for 9/11 as well. You want to look at it that way? I don't know. The whole thing is disgusting. Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@americaoutloud.com. liberty@americaoutloud.com.
The 9/11 thing, it's a pretty big statement to make, but the negligent, I mean, based on your logic here, reading your articles here, and looking at this latest one about calling the American leadership out to be negligent, I would say the same thing about 9/11.
Correct, but the tragedy of 9/11 was not that the Muslims, they didn't read the Quran. The tragedy was the arrogance of the Federal Aviation. I'll explain to you. The Israelis, they learned about terrorism. So they locked every single access to the cockpit. No one can get into the cockpit. And if anybody threatens the pilot with taking over the plane, he is supposed to turn it upside down. If they're going to die, they're going to die in action. Are you? Exactly. But there was no lock on any of the planes in America, on any of the aircraft. That's the tragedy.
Yeah.
Had these cockpits been locked like the Israeli ones, nobody could have been doing it.
Well, that's like everything here, IQ. We wait till the horses are well down the field. They're out of the barn. The barn doors are blown open, and they're 10 miles down the road, buddy. We should have. That's a lot of rubbish. Huh?
Yes. I'm telling you, they don't learn.
No, they don't learn anything. I agree.
Oh, it happens to the Israelis and the Jews. It will not happen to us. Yes, it will happen to you. There is a saying, whatever starts with the bloody Jews never ends up with the Jews.
It's really sick. I mean, the system, how it lets us down time again. And let me talk to you about these comments here from Secretary of Defense Mark Esper. He says he started downplaying the impact. He's been questioned about U.S.-Saudi ties after this deal. And that's what he's been questioning. And he was asked whether he would now hesitate to send U.S. forces to Saudi Arabia, he said, or vice versa, have them here in these training programs, what have you. And he said, no, not at all. He said the U.S. and Saudi Arabia have shared security interests. He said about everything, including Iran, according to the big monster in the room, right? Well, I read you the tweet earlier from President Trump, and And then, you know, President Trump indicated that he says it's time to review policies. Again, this is back to what IQ was just talking about after the barn doors wide open. But he says we need to probably explore these programs. And Congress and the security and intelligence services are negligent in addressing the existential threat posed by Islam within the USA is what you say, IQ. The president says, well, maybe we should review policies governing foreign military training in the United States. You think or what? and then listen to this here. And then to top this off, IQ, the president then tweets his condolences to the families of the victims and noted that the Saudi King Salman had reassured him in a telephone call again that the shooter in no way, shape, or form represents the feelings of the Saudi people. Now, here's the thing I want to talk to you about now. The president has gone out of his way, I believe, for political reasons, and he is using, again, I use the word frenemy up front. Saudi Arabia is, it's arguable, we can argue this all day long, but many people would say it's a frenemy, okay? Other people would say it's a downright enemy, but, okay, frenemy. So the brother of your brother or the lesser of evils or somebody we need for a moment to get to the bigger enemy. The bigger enemy is Iran. So this enemy is less of an enemy than Iran, so now we call him a frenemy. Everybody follow me here now? That's Saudi Arabia, right, IQ? So, okay, they're a frenemy. So if you look at that, and yet they're putting all these loving kisses out there for this frenemy, and they're not taking the precautions. We learned nothing from 9/11, obviously. And now the president says maybe we need to look at these training programs. And I said the numbers up front, what we have going on here. So what's your opinion? What should happen next? Because I got to tell you, the governor of Florida, where this happened, Ron DeSantis, came out and said this could have all been prevented with better vetting. He said at the very least, and he went on to say, and Senator Scott came out, the former governor, but the senator now, and they're both, and he came out, his comments were, you know, that enough is enough. We need a full review and to stop these foreign allies that he says they should suspend the program at once. And so what do you say? Should we suspend these programs? What should happen?
They're talking garbage, for God's sake. This only emotionalism and bullcrap. Look, as you said, Saudi Arabia is not a lover of America. America is not a lover of Saudi Arabia. They need each other at the moment because of Iran. I said it before, 8, 10 years ago, I said, every mosque in the United States of America shouldn't exist. Forget about these young men, 800 people in Venezuela, whatever. What about all the imams in every single mosque in America? What? So you worry about 800 and leave them hundreds of thousands in America? No problem. Where is the logic? I'm not digressing. Your enemy is within you. Your enemy is in every single mosque. Why do I say that? What do they teach in the mosque? What do they read in the mosque? The Quran. What is the imam telling them, the Muslim in the mosque? To hate America. To hate infidels. Who are the infidels? 97% of Americans who are not Muslim.
That's us.
Am I exaggerating?
No, that's us. What about the enemies in Congress right now?
Thank you. I said it a million times, for God's sake. As I said a few seconds ago, Ilhan Omar wears hijab. You ask her, why you wear the hijab? Sharia forces me to do it. Okay, but if Sharia forces you to do it, Sharia tells you also to hate America. To hate Jews, to hate Christians, to hate Buddhists, to hate Hindus, to hate anybody who's not a Muslim. So where do we stop?
And she does hate friend. Everybody, and she says that IQ in her talking points, but yet the popular culture up there and the far left and the Democrats and the radicals and the socialists and the entire group up there, they defend that as some sort of a free speech mechanism and that she is within her right to do or be what she wants or who she is or to embrace her philosophies. And that's what they say every single day. And so she wears the hijab out there, as you say, in full public. And to me, what she's doing when she does that is really spitting on America. It's just totally spitting. That's what she's doing right in our face. And she's using it in Congress because the idiots have put her there.
No, because of the idiots who are supporting her and the idiots who are not even forcing her to leave. Look, I don't give a damn about freedom of speech. I do. But what I meant by this is her freedom of speech does not exist. Her freedom of speech is based on the Quran. If the Quran incites hatred, you don't have freedom of speech with inciting for hatred. Can you imagine somebody who is a Jew in Congress says, we'll kill all the Muslims? What will happen? Disenfranchise the Muslims.
That's right.
Dislocate them, move them out. What will happen? Everybody would be dumping on top of him. But why Ilhan Omar, why is she getting away with it?
All right. There are a couple of schools of thought here when we're talking about our enemies and the training programs. Let's go through this, please. Let's get into some stuff here about the enemy here, but specifically the training programs. How do we deal with Saudi Arabia moving forward? First of all, these training programs. Do we continue to train these students and these people? Do we continue to do that at our naval bases and in our universities? Yes or no?
How do I tell you? Look, as I said, you sold hundreds of billions of dollars. These people have got to be trained.
All right, so we now train them. So now to train them, when DeSantis and Scott comes out and says, okay, we need better vetting programs. We need to suspend these programs at the moment.
You don't change an iota. You can't vet a Muslim. How can you vet a Muslim?
So what do we do? So wait a minute. So you're saying train them. So how the hell do we train them if they're other? Well, here's the next thing then. Are they ticking time bombs? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, you're not making a lot of sense to me. Hold on. You're telling me they're ticking time bombs. You're saying we sold them some crap, so we need to train them how to use the crap. And they're over here in our home. So what do we do?
You sold them hundreds of billions. It's not crap.
Too bad, so sad.
But that's American industry. Don't sell them anything. Send them all back home.
See, it's always the military industrial complex and the rest of the buffoons
Absolutely.
That are making
that's
the money.
Always been the case.
So, but where's help me have some logic here. So if these are ticking time bombs, you and I both know, and we would say publicly right now, IQ, it's only a matter of days, weeks, months, or years before the next Saudi trainee, student, whatever, goes into a naval base or a university or a whatever, a McDonald's. And does exactly what they're going to do. Is that correct?
Correct. What I'm worried about, with all due respect, which I said it about 7 years ago, one of these trainees take a plane fully loaded and goes onto an aircraft carrier. Thank you. You figured that one out.
We don't learn our lessons. It takes a great deal of casualty. I'm going to tell you, IQ, I'll make a statement right now with you, and I mean this here. As we sit here now and we look at the political unrest in the world, but more so in this country, in America here, the superpower of the world. And when we look at it all right now, we're going to pay a heavy price for all of this. And I'm sad to predict to you, we talk about it right now, but there's going to be some very difficult days ahead, not just in this realm, but in a lot of realms because of the ignorance and about the enemy within. Now, I want to talk to you about the enemy from within a moment here, because this is something I'm passionate about, and I follow this. I understand it. And you talk about understanding the enemy, and you talk about one of my favorite people, Sun Tzu. And you say here about 2,500 years ago, a Chinese general military thinker wrote The Art of War. Now, I'm sure most of you or all of you have probably read The Art of War. I've read it several times. It is a must read. And you say here the summation of which was still and still is the following, and it's this. If you know the enemy and know yourself and need not fear the result of 100 battles, okay, you get that? So if you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles, people. You get where I'm at. Now, if you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. So you see, you got about a 50% chance there, okay? You got it? Here's the worst part. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. Now, that group there would probably be the far-left radical socialist group there would fall into that last battle. They got their head up their ass, and they would fall into that last group right there. Now, that's a hell of a lesson there from Sun Tzu and understanding the enemy. So here's what I ask you. President Trump, who talks all the time about the art of a deal, and you and I would probably, I think you would agree, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I guess it's probably safe to say that the president is playing Saudi Arabia out as he thinks he needs to. It's his art of a deal for the Middle East, he believes. I don't think he's probably excited or high on any of this stuff, is my guess. Yet he has to play it out as an art of a deal. Now, the media calls him out, or they try to put him in a corner all the time and catch him doing wrong, or they want him to sever the relationship with Saudi Arabia. That's what the left is asking him to do right now, and the media alike, because they see it that as a convenient way. The president is going out of his way to defend Saudi Arabia right now. My question to you is this. Is this a calculated strategy from the president? Is this a massive mistake from a calculated strategy from the president? Which is it, IQ?
It is an excellent strategy. For one simple reason. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Iran is the mortal enemy of Israel. Iran is the mortal enemy of Iraq. The Iran is the mortal enemy of all the countries surrounding the Middle East. Iran is the mortal enemy of America. Saudi Arabia needs America. America needs Saudi Arabia. But as I said, what happened a few days ago has no relevance in the relationship. Any Muslim in America could do the same. Any Muslim. How can you tell, when you look at a Muslim, if he's so-called radicalized or not?
Right.
You can't, because it goes in the mind, in depth of the soul of the person. How can you read the mind of a person? You can't.
Well, and they also do a lot of trickery. They know how to fool you as well. They're very damn good at it. Yeah.
Taqiyya, taqiyya, taqiyya. That's exactly what it is. Google it, not you, anybody listening. Do Google taqiyya, no matter how you spell it. Google will tell you what it means. Deception. Muhammad said 1400 years ago, war is deception. Hey, I agree with him 100%. War is deception. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it is. It is. And but you say here in this article here now, I like everything you just said. I get it. You say here, President Trump, Congress, and all the security and intelligence services are negligent in addressing the existential threat posed by Islam within the U.S. of A. Help me understand, please. How do we, what would they do to be not negligent? You've already said that they're over here. We need to train them. We've sold them the crap. We got to train them how to use the crap. And now we've got these people all over the place here. So talk, help me do the math here, please.
I know it's difficult to understand, but it isn't difficult. Every mosque is a teacher of jihad. Exactly. Every single mosque, not only in America. Every mosque on earth is a teacher of jihad, incites the Muslims, incites the followers of Muhammad to hate, to murder, to plunder. Why? Because according to the Quran, Muslims are superior to every human being on the planet. Islam is superior to every religion on the planet. And in the end, the whole purpose of Islam is to bring Sharia to the whole world. And those who will not follow Sharia will be exterminated. Simple arithmetic.
So what's the game plan moving forward, please, then? If you think the people should be here training, we've called them ticking time bombs. They're in our mosque as well. They're in our universities, our schools. They're all over. So what, I mean, I think there's like, if I remember right, the numbers around, I mean, it's not much. It's like a single percent or so here in America. But in Europe, it's a massive amount here, there. They're having a lot of problems there. But my question is, how do we deal with this? Are you saying that this is just a fact of life now, that we need to prepare ourselves for the next casualties, that it's going to happen? There's not a damn thing we can do about it? Or are we supposed to be on extra alert? Or since we can't really tell them apart or what they're going to do next, what's the answer?
You quarantine them. You declare Sharia illegal. Anyone who's a Muslim who doesn't agree with you, he can pack up, sell his house, sell business, and go somewhere where Sharia is acceptable. Sounds ridiculous, but it isn't ridiculous. When you have people within you trying to murder you, don't tell me it's ridiculous. Sharia is a nemesis of the American Constitution. It's not complicated. I know it's draconian.
Yeah.
But when you are dealing with a gangrene, what do? You have to cut off the item which is infected with the gangrene, otherwise it will kill you.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, IQ. That's not going to happen in this country, and you know damn well it's not going to happen, okay?
Well, you want to commit suicide like the Europeans?
Yeah.
Do so. With
well, they're going to commit suicide then. It's not going to happen, and you know damn well it's not going to happen. We're just kidding ourselves.
No, I don't accept that, honestly. Malcolm, I don't accept that.
Well, I don't see it's going to happen. You know what? Okay. You know. All right, listen. The only way it's going to happen, IQ, hold on. Here's the one way it would happen. There's only one way that we could change or do what you just suggested. It would take a mass casualty event the size and scope that would make 9/11 look like a raindrop. What that would require would be have to be a massive episode. So what does that mean? Well, that can mean a lot of things. That can mean taking out a whole area of a country, cities, towns, chemical weapons, things of that nature. It could mean a lot of stuff. But that's what it would take, IQ, for this country to come. You would have to bring this country to its knees. There is no way the left, the Democrats, the radicals, the socialists, the perverts, there's no way these politically correct stooges are going to allow that to happen unless you bring this country to its knees. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. 100% I agree with you. It will happen, though. It's a matter of time. Yeah. As I said, somebody will attack an aircraft carrier. What will you do then?
Yeah. It's going to happen. It's no question. I have felt this in my gut for some time. I have a bad feeling. I've had a bad feeling for some years now. And we're going to pay a price for all of this stupidity. Maybe that's the reason I get to the earwaves and I try to do these things, even these kinds of talks when I get on with you. I know it's always a threat. I know we're a threat. I know... I'm a target. I know that. You're a target, but I certainly am a target, and I'm out in the public, and I'm a target. You know, I know that. It's a big mission, you know. It's crazy sometimes. And
we are dedicated to save people, not to kill them.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, this is the tragedy. The Quran is crystal clear, whether it's in Arabic or in any 70 languages. Right. It is absolutely crystal clear. And as I said a million times, I'll do it a million and one times. All anybody has to do, Google, don't buy the Quran, don't waste your money. Google Quran and read chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And if you come to any conclusion opposite to mine, you have to be put in a mental asylum.
It will get you to a mental place. Or they can do the Quran, or they could just go read your previous articles. You mentioned everything in your pieces, man, over
absolutely,
the years here.
But that, by that time, they become geniuses.
Well, you are. You've got a footprint of work there. On AmericaOutloud.com. I mean, IQ's been dedicated to this cause. I mean, you can see that right now. And the conversation I just had with IQ, you kind of really can't even have that with others. And we bring it back to those families again, where we started this conversation today, people in Pensacola, and those beautiful young men who lost their lives. They were murdered. They didn't exactly lose them. They were murdered in cold blood by this killer of jihad. And there are more of these people out there. They're all over the place. They're in our universities. They're in our schools. They're in our workplaces. They're in our education, our environment. They're in our naval bases. They're in our military. They're in the homes. They're everywhere. It's a culture of hate, but it's the fight of the ages. It's a fight here on the planet of good and evil like we've never had before, people. Tremendous thank you here. It's been a very interesting hour. I think you would agree with me. IQ Al-Razouli, we thank him always for his insight and his help here in peeling all of this. I hope you understand just a little bit more of the dangers and the risk ahead for your families, for your life. And by all means, it's time to get involved and get loud.